to Rising Above with Becky Davidson.
We all feel those emotions, so don't feel guilty about them. Allow yourself to feel those. Okay? Allow yourself to be mad, to be angry, or to whatever the landmine or whatever the emotion is. Allow yourself to feel those, but don't linger there.
Welcome to Rising Above with Becky Davidson, where we hear from special needs families who rise above difficult circumstances and discover that joy can be found in every story. Thank you for joining us. Here's your host, Becky Davidson.
Hey, friends. Thanks so much for joining me this week. I am so glad that you are here. And we are in our series here at the podcast called The Unexpected, where we are exploring the unexpected emotions and experiences, challenges, and joys that come when your child receives a diagnosis. And my guest this week is my friend, Tracy Martin. And we're going to be talking about the unexpected emotions that come our way when our child receives a diagnosis. Things like hopelessness and guilt, rage, and oftentimes shame. And so often these emotions stem from the grief that we're also processing through when our child receives a diagnosis. And Tracy is a mom to five, including quadruplets who are now adults. And two of her quads have autism. So Tracy knows and understands all too well the emotions that can come with the special needs life. Tracy is married to Mike, who is an orthopedist, and they live with their family in Birmingham, Alabama. I know you will enjoy hearing from Tracy and the different emotions that she has experienced on her journey raising her sons who have autism. Hi, my friend. How are you?
Good. Good.
Tracy, I'm so glad to see you. It's been quite a while, and I'm glad to get to see you and get to have this conversation with you. We have been friends for quite a number of years. I don't even know how long it's been, but it's been a long, I mean, our boys were much younger.
I can't remember.
I can't either.
Show my age.
And I was like, how old are we
I
now?
Don't know.
We won't talk about that. Yeah, we won't talk about that. But, you know, you have had quite the journey over the years. And just tell us a little bit about your family. You have a very unique birth story. So tell us about your family, kind of your birth story, and a little bit about your boys and their diagnoses.
Okay. I have five children altogether, quadruplets that are now 22. I have to think about that as well. And also 29-year-old that's married and lives in Florida. The quadruplets, one's just graduated. Another one is taking an extra year in college. That's the boy and the girl. And then they're my neurotypicals. And then my two boys with autism. One is just getting ready to start a new job, and then another one is profound and nonverbal. So he is actually in residential care. So we got diagnosed. The boys were about, let's see, they were about two, I think, or three, but all four of them weren't talking. So, you know, the pediatricians and friends of mine said, well, maybe we should look at, you know, getting early intervention and just see what's going on with them. They need to be talking really or saying a few words by two. So they were all tested. And then it was found that two of them had were autism, one profound and then one Asperger's or the high functioning. And then the girl actually had was diagnosed with ADD and ADHD and anxiety. And so that was a pretty good diagnosis for back then, because they still stand today. I still use that report for my boys and my girl. She's at accommodations at college and everything, you know. So yeah.
It's been quite the journey. And I love, you showed me one time the picture of you when you were pregnant with the quads and in the hospital. And you're a tiny petite, you know, you're a tiny.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, well, and but when you were pregnant, oh my goodness. And you had to be hospitalized, I think, there towards the end, didn't you? Because, you know, trying to carry these four babies, and it was a lot.
200 pounds worth. So 200 pounds of joy.
200 pounds of joy. So yeah. Great. So, and I know this journey has not been easy. There have been, you know, we've done a lot of life together over the years, even though we live in different states, but we have done lots of journeying together on this disability journey that we've been on. And so I know it hasn't always been easy. And there's a lot of emotions and things that go into this life that maybe were unexpected, things that we had no clue, especially I'm sure when you were pregnant, expecting these quads, you have these dreams and visions of what you think that's going to be like. And then it's not what you expected. And then on last week's show, I had a conversation with Susan Lomax.
Oh, I love her.
She's sweet. She I know. Is. You get to see her by the brook. So there
Great.
You go.
Great. Did she cry all the way through?
Yeah, but maybe. Yes. Yes. Oh, goodness. But we had a conversation about grief, the grief that we face as parents of kids with disabilities. And, you know, I think a lot of times often the result of unresolved grief are emotions like, you know, we have rage and guilt and shame, just to name a few. And were those any of the things that you maybe experienced emotionally with your kiddos?
Yeah, and I still do. But, you know, when things go wrong or there's a new diagnosis of something else, the sidebars, not just the autism, you know, we have sidebars. Mm-hmm. A lot of our families, we don't just have the straight up, you know, right. stuff. We get these little extras along the way. So mm-hmm. sometimes the anger manifests, you know, I mean, obviously at the beginning, when the boys got diagnosed, it was just denial. It's like, oh, they were premature. They were, you know, they're going to get better. We're going to, mm-hmm. you know, and then gradually as it went on, there was the anger that, well, you know, why? We did everything right, you know, it's not fair. It's not fair. But then there would be the guilt because mm-hmm. I had two neurotypicals, you know, and then I had another one. It's just like I felt like, oh, I'm being greedy. I want too much joy. I want too much normalcy in my life. But then I was like, well, why not? Other people have six children and 10 mm-hmm. children and they were fine. Why? Yeah. So it's kind of, it goes up and down. And even now, but now I'm a lot more accepting of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I yeah. know that this is just a season. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, when things do get bad, that there's hope. It will get better.
Yeah.
You know,
We've had lots of years of experience in that. Yeah.
Yeah. Where you, it's like a roller coaster. You know, and you're riding the high, and everything is great, and the kids are doing well, and then you're like just holding on, mm-hmm. waiting for the shoe to drop because it's yeah. like everybody's happy, everybody's well, but that's a mistake to wait for that shoe because otherwise you miss it out yeah. on the joys that you are enjoying at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you're like. Okay, well, what's going to happen? I mean, this is going to happen. Oh, surely they're going to call me about this or they're going to call me about that.
Right.
And you miss the here and now. Mm. It doesn't, the future, we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, we could
yeah.
get another COVID again, mm-hmm. you know, and Jesus would hurry up, you know.
We don't Every even day, know. Jesus, please come quickly.
Yeah. So yeah. I keep saying, I'm going to send him an yeah. Uber if he's having trouble getting here, you know, transport. So you have to live in the here and now. And I still okay. catch myself sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, like thinking about the worst when it yeah. hasn't even happened.
Mm, we're so bad about that. I mean, that's so common with us. I jokingly call myself the worst case scenario girl sometimes because I can go from everything's sunny and roses to everything's falling apart in a matter of seconds, you know, when something with Jay's not feeling well or... You know, I'm really trying hard to not go there. But, you know, there's just so many, I think, you know, when you see yourself and you're expecting your baby, and you think everything is going to be a certain way and it's not. And then you have all these unexpected feelings and emotions that come up. And I love, Jeff wrote in his book, Common Man Extraordinary Call, he called them emotional landmines. And he explained that in a battle situation, landmines are intentionally designed to maim rather than kill a soldier. And the strategy behind that is, with this kind of assault, is that it takes more resources and effort to care for a wounded soldier than a dead one. And so if you look at, you know, in our lives as special needs parents, we encounter so many emotional landmines that are planted and intentionally placed there by the enemy to try to discourage and crush us. They're intended to wear us down, you know, in this journey. And so have you seen that to be true in your life over the years, that there've been landmines that have been there that have really worn you down? Yeah, see your face. You're like,
the cracks or Satan and his pointy finger looks for those cracks or a moment of weakness, or you do step on a landmine and of the envy or the jealousy or the resentment in marriages. And, you know, in our marriage, definitely. I mean, we come close to divorce because, you know, the statistics, what is it, 85%?
Yeah, I'm not even sure where it is right now. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure maybe it's more now, but he comes in whatever way he can, whenever you've got your guard down, he will come in and try to destroy whatever it is you love. And then, you know, he wants you to blame it on God. He just wants you to say, well, why, God, would you do this to me? And why this and why that? So then he's finding a way to get in and to just destroy you, but not all the way.
Right.
You know, so that you kind of get to the place where you're like on your hands and knees. But then after that, when I get to that point, I just look up. I mean, I just like, okay, I know that this isn't God doing this. Mm. I know it's not him. He's kind, loving God and just, and there's no way that he would inflict this pain on my child or on our marriage. He wants us to be together and be happy. So then I just have to work my way back up again, you know, step away and not get drawn to those landmines. It is like you get drawn to them because it's easier. Mm. Sometimes it's easier and you think, I can't do this anymore. I'm really going to get divorced, or I'm just going to go to bed for a week. You know? So you have to try to be mindful of those landmines and you not stepping on them, because Satan's just rubbing his hands together.
Yeah. He came to kill, steal, and destroy, you know, but Jesus came to give life. And so it's keeping our, you know, focus there and on the truths. You know, I don't know about you, Tracy, but for me, you know, I would have these, especially early on when John Alex was little, just these feelings of, you know, you so wanted your life to look different. At least I did, you know, I had that. So all these expectations, and I would look and I would see, you know, kids that were the same age as John Alex doing things that he couldn't do and just feeling that jealousy. And then I would feel there'd be times, honestly, that behavior-wise, it would be embarrassing. You know, you'd be like, you know, we're driving in a drive-thru and he's rocking so hard and shaking the car and people are staring and you're just like, really, it's okay. You know, everything's fine. And I remember
place in this order.
Yeah, exactly. But I can remember those feelings of embarrassment, you know, and then you feel shame because you've been embarrassed because of what your child is doing. I finally now got to the point, you know, when he's rocking and people are staring, I just smile and I'm like, you are doing so great, you know, and people, it shuts down in other people and in me too, you know. But did you experience those feelings of just shame, some of the shame that came along with some of these emotions that maybe you were dealing with?
Yeah, I think the embarrassment thing, you know, I would be embarrassed about Gabe and, you know, because we tried to take him out to do normal things like with the other kids and do things and, you know, and then I'd be reprimanding him because he's too vocal. We're in the movies. And he's too vocal, you know, but he's just appreciating them, you know, shh, be quiet.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And reprimanding him and then just the same thing, standing in a line and, you know, lining up at the grocery store. He's jumping up and down like a madman, you know. So then I'd feel, mm-hmm. I'd just be, okay, let's go. Let's just leave.
Right.
You know, and there was no patience there mm-hmm. or whatever. Now I engage him. You know, mm-hmm. I just say, okay, I know these lights are bothering you. I think as far as other people are concerned, if they see that you are at ease with it.
Absolutely.
And that you don't have a problem and you don't mm-hmm. have embarrassment, then they will not be embarrassed. They're like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, it's okay.
It's okay, exactly.
You know, I mean, he loves to dance in public. I mean, he'd be like this, rocking backwards mm-hmm. and forwards. And so then I just start dancing with him. And then other people start smiling, and it's not that big of a deal. Whereas mm-hmm. back in the day, I'd be terrified. Mm-hmm. And then yeah. people would give you horrible looks,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so then you're just putting your head down.
Right.
I mean, now I dare people to look at, I mean, I'm just like, isn't he great? I just love him. Would you want that energy? I want that energy.
Yes.
You know, and you see them like, oh yeah, you're right. He's mm-hmm. so sweet. But back in the day, I was embarrassed. Now, you know, I guess because I'm older
mm-hmm.
and I realize they're my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let them just be kids.
Yeah.
So
true. And it is easier now that they're older. We've been able to process through our feelings and our emotions, you know, related to the diagnosis. And I do think we talked about this in the episode last week with Susan. But when you can go through the grief process and you get to that place of accepting the diagnosis. Now, you're going to still grieve. There's still going to be milestones and things that are going to happen all the way through that you're right. going to have to process through. But when you can get to the place of acceptance that, hey, our life's going to look different. Our story's going to look different than what we thought, but this is really okay. Then it's amazing the mind shift that happens. And it takes some time to get there. I mean, you've got to process through all that and get there. But I think sometimes too, we get so overwhelmed by what's going on that we kind of can sometimes, I know for me, I could get numb to my feelings, and you're just going through the motions and pushing through. And sometimes we don't even realize what we're feeling, but then what happens then, Tracy? You know, if we shut down those emotions, then what happens?
I think you just disappear. I mean, mm-hmm. I've been like that before. I have bipolar, which I manage with medication, but with that, it's very difficult because if you have a slump or you have something happens and you get mm-hmm. triggered or depression, you tend to stay down there. And if you don't talk to somebody, you know, if I don't tell my husband or whatever, you tend to get stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
You can get sick. Your immune system just shuts down. And I mean, I have had COVID like God knows how many times, and I've had all the shots and everything, but I just let myself go, but don't eat properly and don't do this and don't do that. And the others suffer. Well, I should put my oxygen mask on first,
mm-hmm.
but us moms, we want to take care of the kids and fix them and make sure they're okay and medications and all of that. And you do just go through the motions of being numb. You know, I went through when I'm the things I've gone through with Gabe and Sam, you're just like a zombie.
Yeah.
You know, but if you don't, you can just disappear into yourself. Sometimes I felt like that I was just disappearing and I didn't care.
Are you a mom or female caregiver raising an individual with special needs? We'd love to invite you to our yearly event created just for you called By the Brook. In 2024, you can join us live in Cookeville, Tennessee, or from wherever you are around the world for a weekend of encouragement, respite, and time together with other moms who get it. Join us on June 21st through 22nd, 2024.
That I was just disappearing and I didn't care,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's until you shut down, and then it can impact everybody, our relationships, the people that we interact with. And, you know, I think for me, a lot of times I didn't even realize that I was shut down. I just wasn't even aware. And so when someone gently and kindly showed me that in a very loving way, what I've learned to do is, you know, when I start getting like something's bothering me or something, it just is not right. And I'm feeling all these emotions about something or getting upset about something. My journal has become very near and dear to me, you know, and so I'll sit down and I'll just write out, pour out whatever it is that's bothering me, you know, like, I don't understand why this is going on and whatnot. But then I stop and I go like, okay, how am I feeling in this? Because a lot of times I need to sit and go, okay, I'm really like mad about this, or I'm really feeling lonely or abandoned in this, or, you know, whatever, I'm feeling shame in this. And so, you know, I lament it out, write down how I'm feeling, but then I go, but what's the truth? What's the truth? No, I'm not abandoned. God is always with me. You know, God is not a God of shame. You know, what is the truth in that? And then I turn it into a prayer and write out a prayer. And so, you know, that has helped me process through. You know, I'm a single parent, so I don't have a spouse to talk things through with. Like, you know, you've got Mike to talk things through. And so I think we all have to have those strategies in place for when we start feeling ourselves slipping into the pit, or those emotions are just getting so heightened that we don't know quite what to do with them. Everybody, you've got to find what's going, you know, to work for you. So for me, that has been so helpful. Just having that journaling where I can put that out there and get it from my head and my heart out, you know, to find some freedom there. I know you've heard this statistic about how so many parents of children with disabilities have PTSD along the same lines as someone who's come back from battle. And, you know, for you, I know you've had multiple behavioral things with your kids. You've had some really crazy things happen in your family. I've had lots of medical things, you know, over and over again that, you know, I was diagnosed by my counselor with complex PTSD. I don't know if you've had that experience as well, but that's so common for our families because it's just a constant fight and flight.
Battle.
Yeah. And so what is that? Has that been your experience? Have you felt that, the trauma and the, what does that look like for you?
I think, you know, we went through a season where we were just being pummeled. You know, I think there was just landmines, thing after thing after thing, and we'd just get back up from one thing and then another thing would happen. You know, mm-hmm. that year, you know, with Sam and his addiction, and then Gabe with his behavioral, and then Sophia with her anxiety, and she ended up in the wheelchair just temporarily. And then my other child just came to me and said, I need to get therapy, Mom. Mm. And it was just, talk about being a zombie, or, you know, it was like, I can't do this much longer. I don't know. You're going to have to help me, Lord. I'm like, I cannot tolerate this. And then our family, you know, our family was just falling to bits. It was falling to bits. And then I didn't know what to do. I just hold on. You know, it's the special needs, you know, family roller coaster, mm-hmm. where we were just plummeting. And then when I came out of that, I mean, my counselor, I mean, I see a therapist, she said, because things started getting better gradually, and she said, when we get to a better point, you are going to experience that, post-traumatic
PTSD.
Stress.
Yeah.
Yeah. She said, you will. And I'm like, oh, you know, because when we got Gabe sorted out, we got everything, I was like, mm-hmm. well, I'm good. She said, when you get Gabe sorted out, when he goes to his apartment, you will experience that. And I'm like, I'm fine.
Yeah. Don't be telling
I'm
me
fine.
That.
Yeah. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, she said, okay, but just be ready.
Beware.
Because even, she said, you're so used to being pummeled with all that stuff. When it's quiet, that's when you're going to come apart. That's when you're going to start worrying about other things going wrong and all of that tsunami coming again. So, of course, I did. And I felt kind of crazy. I was like, there's nothing going on. Everything is nice. Everything is taken care of. And everybody is just amazing. But I had to take the bed, you know, because and even now, if I get a call from Gabe's apartment or something like that, I start like, you know, if he comes home for the weekend, I start feeling sick and just all of these things. So, yeah, I think a lot of us go through that maybe in different ways, like you said, the medical and then with John Alex and then me, the more behavioral and some medical as well. I think we all go through that as moms because it's our job to take care of our babies, to protect our babies.
Yeah.
That's our job. So when we feel like we can't control that or we can't fix them or we can't, you know, we start getting flustered and feeling like that, it's the most awful thing in the world, I think.
But the beautiful thing is, you know, when we get to that place where we get stuck, there is help. You know, I got help with a therapist to help me through mine. I know you were as well. And, you know, it's like there's no shame in that. There's no shame in going and getting the help when we need it to help us process through. And, you know, the beautiful thing, though, too, is that God wants to come into those places and God wants to bring us healing and for us not to feel like we're carrying all that alone. And I know your faith has gotten you through so many things. Share a little bit about that and how your faith has been such an important part of helping you. You know, I know more of the story than we can share here in a podcast, but you've been through a lot with your boys. But I know your faith has been very important to you. And so how has that impacted you and your ability to, even when the crazy things that you've been through, that you're still here and you're able to record this podcast with me and you're still able to, you're not laying in bed, you know, you're here. And so how has that been a part of your journey and your story?
It's been my survival. It's just been my survival because I just tried so many things. You know, I mean, I started having a problem with drinking, you know, because it numbed me. And just all of these other things. And, you know, and God, I felt like God was in and out of my life, but that was my choice. That wasn't him leaving me. Mm-hmm. So I would have these conversations where one minute I'm screaming at him, you know, I'm screaming at him. I don't understand. Give me the seizures. Give me the immune problems. Give me all of that. My child can't handle that, you know. And then the next minute I sing in my worship band. I'm up on stage worshiping. Crying my eyes out and thanking the Lord for his love and his mercy. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a love-hate relationship. And I used to feel bad about that, but I know God can take it. It's like a mother with a child, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, a mother or a father, a parent with a child, the child screams at them and hates them one minute, and then they love them and they kiss them and then they hate them and... So that's the relationship, but without him, he's carried me so far, and he's stepped in. You know, like when I had the babies, I should have died. We're not meant to have more than one baby or two babies at a time. I mean, I had terrible problems. I was in hospital longer than the babies. They wanted to send the babies home, but God stepped in. You know, I had a brain bleed sometime after, and he stepped in. I should have died. You know, and so it's my praying and just there isn't anything else. I just want to encourage everybody that when you feel like he's not there, that's when he's closest. He's just being quiet and listening to you and listening to your heartbeat and just listening to you. But he's there at the worst times, you know, but I try to pray even at the bad times. I try to thank him or praise him, or because it's always like, well, you know, like this thing with this skin cancer, you know, I found this place on my leg and I just put it off. And then I went in and she was like, oh, we need to take that off. And it turns out it's basal cell carcinoma. And they, you know, I have to have this cream that makes me feel just doolally and just horrible and sickness. But it's better for one, it didn't happen to my kid, mm-hmm. which I'm so glad about.
Right.
I'm glad my kid doesn't have to go through it. And then, you know, I have my leg.
Mm-hmm.
So you always have to, even though you get,
find
you
the celebrate gratitude.
The rough with the smooth, even at yeah. the time you're like, you know, but then, so it's just always looking up. You know, you always say mm-hmm. that, Becky, that, you know, don't look down because then, you know, the Satan's going, hey,
yeah,
you know, yeah. It's just like, see what I did there?
Yeah.
So it's better to just always look up. And yeah. my thing is my church, I belong to a Bible study and, you know, and it's women, so they understand the emotions and the feelings that, you know, sometimes men are just kind of a little bit, you know, they don't have their hearts and souls like we do, but they have the fixing and the mm-hmm. protecting and things like that. So my church is, and my singing and all of that is what has helped me.
Mm.
I always know Sunday, everything's okay.
Yeah,
Sunday will come and I will replenish and renew yeah. and all of that.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what I love about the Psalms is that, you know, David would just pour out his lament and his anger and his frustration. And yet he always, you know, he flipped it at the end to praise. And so that's just a great pattern for us that when those emotions and all those things that are going on, God knows, he sees, he cares that we're where we are. And, you know, I love that you've used the hard, but it's pointed you to worship and not turning your heart away. And so that's so beautiful. I know our boys are in their 20s. And so if you could, you know, talk to a younger mama who's just gotten a diagnosis, what would you think she would need to hear about the unexpected emotions that she's going to experience on this journey?
Hold on, girl. Firstly, you are allowed to feel these emotions.
Mm-hmm.
They're totally normal. It's what we all go through, any family or family member with a child with special needs. We all feel those emotions. So don't feel guilty about them. Don't, you know, allow yourself to feel those. Okay, allow yourself or to be mad, to be angry, or to whatever the landmine or whatever the emotion is, allow yourself to feel those, but don't linger there. Okay, don't stay there. You just, you know, be angry for the day or you know, denial for the day or shout and scream at God, you know, whatever you want to do, but then step away. And then swipe left or swipe right. I'm always doing that. I'm always like, you know, when these thoughts come into my head or these emotions, I just for a second stay and then mm-hmm. move them off to the side. And you have to get away from these emotions. I mean, obviously, the good, you're going to have good and bad. The bad ones, you really want to distance yourself from. You don't want to, like I said, you don't want to stay there. If it's for self-preservation, you need to take care of it, take care of yourself, take care that you don't stay too long in those thoughts and those feelings because they will eat you up.
Mm-hmm.
And then nobody benefits from that except yeah. Satan, you know. So stay away from those if you possibly can, but know that if you go there, it's fine. It's fine. Just stay
part
there and then leave.
Yeah.
And you are going to have good and bad days, like I said, but that's okay. You should be, I'm only just started doing this, gentle with yourself that, okay, I don't feel good today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. Don't feel guilty. It's like, okay, I'm really not in the mood to play with my kids. You know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I'm really not in the mood to take him to the doctors, even though it's something that he needs. And you do, you take him, but it's okay to feel like that. I mean, just be like, okay, give yourself mercy and grace mm-hmm. yeah. for that. And another thing I think about is if I do go to these bad emotions or landmines or bad places, is just I just hold God's hand. You can either hold God's hand or, you know, if you have a friend, I don't know, that mm-hmm. rising above, talking about pulling, having a lifeline to pull you mm-hmm. out of the pit. So, mm-hmm. but I just hold on to God's and just know that if it's just for a little while and, yeah. and he's going to pull me out, yeah. you know.
Well, and I know you've learned some strategies and things over the years that have helped you to be able to rise above the emotions that come with the special needs life and to be able to find joy in your story. So what are some of those things, those strategies and things you put in place over the years? You get giddy when you get to when you talk about this, huh?
Well, one of the things I do is I do volunteer with my high school band. And I always say to the kids, there's 75 of them and I help them with their uniforms. And I'm their assistant. You know, like if one of the girls feel depressed, and there are like three or four autistic children, young adults within the band. So that I always say to the kids, you know, my four have left the nest. So now I've got my 75 that I take care of.
Yeah.
And I love every single one of them. And that's my something that I can control. And it this makes me happy. Then my worship, praise and worship every Sunday. I love that. That really helps me a great deal because singing the words from the songs is like my praying. And I don't, everyone says, well, don't you get, you know, nervous? I'm like, no, I'm not singing to congregation out there. I'm singing to the Lord, even whether mm-hmm. it's, you know, a hard time or a good time. And then lastly is my tidying business. I started a business called The Tidying Brit. Because during my childhood years with my quadruplets, everywhere was chaos. So I was always trying to tidy it up and organize it. And it was kind of like my therapy, cathartic thing. Of course, it would get all messy again. I have every book and every information known to man about that. But then I settled on Marie Kondo's tidying, Japanese art of tidying. And because it deals with a more psychological method of tidying or decluttering. It's mm-hmm. mostly just tidying up around you so that you feel clear and peaceful and mindful and everything. It's not about throwing everything away. So it's more about making an environment that's conducive to peace and calming. Mm. So I've started doing that, which I love. That's probably my favorite thing to do. So, but
and you started a business doing this now. So it's called The Tidying Brit. I wish you were here because I need you to come help me tidy up. So, but you're coming to By the Brook and you're actually yes. going to do a breakout at By the Brook on yes. how we as special needs mamas can tidy up and organize our spaces. So,
yes,
I may have to have a private lesson, Tracy.
Of course.
You can come do a, you know, clean out, help me clean out around my house. So,
anytime.
Oh my goodness.
Anytime.
Well, as we finish up here, Liz, friends, I just want to remind you some of the things Tracy has already said, but you know, don't be ashamed of what you're feeling. Feel what you're feeling. Invite God in. He wants to come in and bring healing to us. You know, the feelings that we feel are just part of the grief process that we go through, as special needs parents. But if you find yourself getting stuck, it's okay to ask for help. That could be from going to a friend that you trust, your spouse that you trust, to a counselor or a therapist. You don't want to get stuck in those spots. We all need people sometimes to help pull us through. And there's so much healing that can come in naming the emotions that you're experiencing. It helps to mend the places in our heart and finding that safe place that you can do that. And then, like you said, Tracy, giving yourself grace when you're feeling those things. And one of the things for me that helps me in everything that I face is practicing gratitude, being grateful. When I start spiraling down in those emotions, to stop and be grateful for what I do have, for how God has blessed me, to see the flip side of this journey, to see the positives that we do face in this journey. And, you know, God has blessed us to be the parents to these amazing children. And yes, there are days that it's hard. Yes, there's days that we have emotions that we just want to run from sometimes. But He is there. He is here with us, and He will help us through everything that comes our way. And Tracy, I'm just so grateful for you. I'm grateful for your friendship. I'm excited to get to see you at By the Brook this summer. And just so, so thankful for you. So thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. It's always nice talking to you.
And everybody, be sure to join us back next week. And we're going to be looking at unexpected expectations. Now, Tracy, I'm sure you never deal with the mom guilt that comes along with this journey, or the feeling like we're just not doing enough. You've never experienced right. that, have you?
No. She said with the crossed fingers.
I think that's something we all experience. So we're going to be talking about that with another friend next week. So be sure to join us back. And again, Tracy, love you so much, friend. And I'll see you here in a few months.
Okay, love you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Rising Above with Becky Davidson, created and produced by Rising Above Ministries. To learn more about us and our resources for special needs families, visit risingaboveministries.org or download our free app. If you've enjoyed listening and want to hear more, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and review. You can always share it to encourage a friend. And remember, joy can be found in every story.